That's all I get.
Because what will happen is you feel like you're
starting to go. Dave's a pretty interesting guy. I met Dave in 2001 when I first joined Grant Thornton. And one of the things I was going to do was to launch something I called Project Jumpstart, which is direct mailing followed up by a phone call to get an appointment and jumpstart new relationships with target companies. And I thought I was pretty smart in doing that, and I was going to launch it in 50 cities. And then I found out that Dave has already been doing it and had been doing it for 2 years in Chicago. So he turned out to be our success story that we used to prove the worth of the program. Because Dave was not only managing the direct marketing part of that program, but also he went on the appointments and he closed the sales along with the partners that performed the service. And that's what's interesting about Dave. Most salespeople kind of get impatient with marketers because marketers have a longer term view. They're building the brand, and most marketing people don't really understand what salespeople need to close the sale. And Dave does both. Dave's the director of marketing, the regional director of marketing for Grant Thornton. He manages the marketing function in the Midwest region, which is comprised of 6 cities and I think 4 states. And in addition to that, he's a sales guy. He's one of about 40 business development executives, sales executives in Grant Thornton. And he's a pretty successful one. Last year, I think he closed, $4 million worth of business? And he's doing it part-time. Here's a guy that really knows how to integrate marketing and sales. And I think every time I talk to Dave, I always learn something. So I hope you have the same experience today. Dave Hunke, come and talk to us.
Thank you very much for having me today. As Ed said, I spend probably about 70% of my time selling and the other 30% managing marketing people across the Midwest region. I'm going to talk today about really the whole concept of integrating marketing and sales and play with some metaphors. But before we get started, I'd like to kind of talk just very high level about the concept of integrated marketing really is all about collaboration. And as I talk about that today, I'd like to collaborate with you, and I'd like to entertain your questions as I go through the presentation or have dialogue, step in and join me, because that's what it's really all about when you talk about integrating marketing and sales. It's about collaboration. And a great example of that, I saw this morning, I was coming out of the office pretty early, probably about 7:15 or so, and I bumped into one of the lawyers who's head of our tax quality assurance, and Jeffrey and I started having a marketing and sales conversation in the hallway. And to be successful, and talk to somebody this morning in marketing or sales, what it's really all about is collaborating and loving what you do. So thanks for having me. Love a chance here today to give my simple presentation really on integrated marketing and sales as child's play. And what I want to do is play with the metaphor of Legos, using Legos, children's play, to have a discussion about maybe 7 key ideas that can simplify sales and marketing so they can work much closely together. I thought Ed was going to say when he said Dave's an interesting guy because he's schizophrenic. He doesn't know if he's marketing or if he's sales. And that kind of goes back to this whole idea of children's play. I spent 4 years of my life as a teacher and as a football coach. And that's kind of a dichotomy in some respects. So what I'm going to talk about today on one hand is Piagetian children's psychology, talking about play, talking about trying to think collaboratively and working together. On the other side of the coin, I'm going to kind of talk about Vince Lombardi-type things, power right, power left, simple plays, avoid complexity. I always loved Vince Lombardi because he said the dictionary is the only place where the word success comes before work. In real life, you got to work hard to have success. And when Vince Lombardi said that, I kind of thought, wow, he's just like Yogi Berra. Yeah, success does come before work, okay? S before W. But the older I've gotten, I realize that teams have to collaborate. Playful teams that have fun, have to collaborate with teams that really have good discipline and can execute on the field. So with that in mind, the realities of building with Legos, I'm amazed throughout the Midwest region and sometimes in Chicago what I see. We get these collective monologues of children sometimes who engage in their own activities and give little thought, if any, to what the other group's doing. Collective monologue. How many people have ever worked in a daycare center? Or have put their children in a daycare center? Children will engage in these conversations with themselves, listening to no one, just talking to talk. And I'm amazed sometimes when I see marketers get together with salespeople, they engage in collective monologues, not listening to what the others say. And what happens is they build Legos. They take these Legos and create walls because of conflicting directives. Marketing people are great about talking about creative, as Ed said. You know, they're the Piagetans, good about talking about magic, good about talking about conceptual things. On the other side of the coin, the Vince Lombardi in me loves results. I love hitting the line. I love doing these things. And conflicting directives build these two walls. Well, what really results is Lego, my Lego. So what I'd like to talk about today are really seven key ideas that maybe can help you and your organizations, or maybe they're helping you already, you'd like to pipe in and talk about that, achieve some kind of success integrating marketing and sales. The first one, I believe, is maintain program simplicity. Maybe when I was a football coach in Nebraska, we didn't have the spread offense, or we didn't have the veer, we didn't have these crazy plays. We had simple power eye that we executed about 22 plays, and we had a defense that was very, very basic, and we maintained simplicity. And Ed talked about the concept of jumpstart, which I'll explain a little bit here. Another great idea that Ed's brought to the organization that I think is really important is to be simple, distill your plan, distill your ideas down to one page. This is our marketing plan and our strategy, really, for fiscal year 10, which is coming upon us August 1st. The objective is to capture market share. How are we going to do it? Three-pronged approach. We're going to create awareness using branding, and advertising, visibility in the community. We're going to generate leads for our partners, for our salespeople. That's what marketing people need to do. And we're going to help close business. What are our tactics? Well, things you guys do for a living. Advertising, PR, sponsorships, user website. Ed talked about jumpstart programs. Cold calling. Past life, I telemarketed for a living. I still do. And help close business. Work with best practice proposals. Look for triggers for services. Train our salespeople and train our professionals about how to understand those triggers. On one page, that's what we're going to be doing this next year. Simplicity. To have success in marketing and sales and to integrate them, be simple. Put it on one page. A couple examples of this, really. Mail it, call it, see it, sell it, record it, and measure it. Ed talked about Jumpstart. This is a campaign we had a lot of fun with back in January, February, March, and it's still going on. Taking a general concept of value for fees, we hired an outside consultant to evaluate our customer service scores, the way we serve our clients, and found out that they were statistically and significantly higher than the big four and regional and middle tier firms. And on one piece of paper, one letter, we mailed a direct mail letter to our targets. Followed up, they could either go onto our website and pull down the information, or we telemarketed and made appointments. And we have generated appointments and generated results. It's a very simple, minimal moving piece campaign program that marketing and sales can execute. Children can play with one another in the sandbox using Legos. Football players can build Legos with those children as well and be on the same page. Step number two in terms of working with Legos for your sales and marketing group, I believe, is about creating communication. Earlier we talked about collective monologues, or I guess I did. And I see that so many times in sales and marketing groups where we have different directives. The ways to overcome it, you know, obviously, is get together and share ideas. In the Midwest, we have a monthly marketing and sales conference call. We try and do video conferences. And I find that rather than starting with marketing people, the salesperson in me is impatient, and the salespeople in the region are impatient, we have them talk about what's hot, what's working in the field. Give us some feedback on what's happening on these marketing programs. What's generating appointments? What's generating sales? And as a result of engaging the salespeople, those impatient Vince Lombardi people, that one half of me is, the marketing people are able to really engage in some good discussion with them. We're able to challenge one another. We're able to talk about the one-pagers that Ed has. I'll even pass out talking about coaching. You can look at these things. I tried kind of to play around in past December, about putting all the key initiatives for our tax group last quarter on one page so they could find the data, they could find sales sheets, they could find what the campaigns are, they could find things on our website. Try and get everybody on one page. Use activity reports. If you're using a CRM tool, if you're using just Excel, make certain you're reporting results to your members so they know what's working and not working. Challenge team members, but also share ideas and results. Collaborate. Know also marketing and sales respective roles in the process. There's some things marketing people do, some things salespeople do as well, and there's some things that they don't do. And avoid collective monologues. Another example here of, I lost my clicker there, guys, a one-pager. Ed has put this together for the fiscal year 10 upcoming strategy approach to try and explain different roles of players. And how do we go through the buy cycle, the client's buying cycle, and how do we facilitate that and expedite that process? Well, marketing helps build our brand and generate leads. Those things that marketing does is in the upper left quadrant. Those things that sales does comes down in the lower right quadrant. Know your roles. Know where you fit in the process. It's rather simple. But I've been amazed in my life watching marketing people create campaigns after campaign, postcard after postcard, send out HTMLs to targets, get together, have seminars, and never communicate with sales that these events are taking place. Or never look at the lists and invite the salespeople to attend the seminar. Or to follow up on that direct mail campaign. Or say, geez, these are people who clicked through our website. Would you like to follow up on them? The lack of communication in most sales and marketing organizations boggles my mind. And we're a small public accounting firm. We're not a monolith. I mean, we are a $4 billion organization across the world. But in the behemoth scale of things, if you can't communicate and collaborate, you're not going to be an effective team. So I think that's an important concept, communication. Duh. Lego step three, sharing the same marketing and sales language. Well, it's pretty tough to communicate if you don't share the same language. I've always been amazed when I talk to people in sales about, oh, this is a hot lead, or geez, I've got out there and my sales cycle is 47 days, or geez, they look for all these triggers, and oftentimes I sit on the other side of the table as a marketing person talking with my associates, and they go, what are they talking about? The marketing people on the other side of the queue uses a vocabulary that the salespeople don't understand. They start talking about ROI, or they start talking about hits, or click-throughs. What are you talking about? How can you share the same vocabulary so you're not talking pink elephants? Years ago, when I was a graduate student, I did a master's in semantics. And realize that unless you share the same language, as Wittgenstein says, there will be no communication. And it's a simple thing to remember, but it's extremely difficult to bring to life. Here's some of the key vocabulary that we use at Grant Thornton. And it prevents speaking in tongues. It prevents glossolalia. Ever seen a tent revival? People get up in the front, and they're healed, and suddenly start babbling. That's what I've seen sometimes in sales and marketing organizations. But if you can talk about your pipeline reporting using key words, if you can talk about your proposal methodology and where the players fit in that and share that language, if you can use the same targeting language and share that, marketing and sales, if you can talk about the way you get involved in the community, visibility in the community, whether it's through association or community involvement, networking, Fred's Big Ballywick, and to Cheryl, I love that story about how that worked at the LMA event. You can have impact with key influencers. You can be a successful integrated marketing and sales team. But it's very difficult. I probably should have put this one before communication. sign, unless your sign language is involved, because if you don't share the same vocabulary, you're not going to succeed. Fourth idea in terms of playing with Legos, share the same performance metrics. And I believe link it to your compensation. How many people have been in marketing with, I'm trying to remember, someone was with Harris Bank. There you go. When you were at Harris Bank in marketing, were you compensated the same way that the business development people were, or the book plant relationship people were?
Absolutely.
Okay. Anybody been a bartender? Okay. Anybody been a waiter? What do you have to do at the end of the night as a waiter, a waitress, or bartender? You have to tip out, and you have to give your bar back money, and you have to give your busboy money. This is the only business I know where marketing has a job to do. They execute it, they do the programs, and then maybe at the end of the year, if they do things right, there's ROI, they'll get a bonus. But they don't get to share in the commission. I can't change the world, but it is something that both sides of me realize is that inequity. And I realize when I am fortunate enough to make sales, I don't make them on my own. I make them with partners and managers, and I make them because of my sales, my marketing team, that maybe somehow the perfect world would figure out a way to really share the wealth. And by sharing that wealth, tips and commission, there might be a way to get a pool together to split the pie in some respects. I think that might create a little more incentive. And in some instances, if sales and marketing are not integrated, I've found in some instances it's because there's a little bit of resentment that the salespeople are cowboys. Salespeople don't need sales and marketing. They go out on their own escapades. They gallivant and charge windmills. And they can bring in the big bacon. What do I need these marketing people for? And that resentment can build. Well, that's not the way to create collaboration. That's not the way to build a team. That's not the way to play with Legos, children. You can't take all the Legos and leave somebody else three or four. And you look at some of the key metrics, campaign response rate, ROI, salespeople, we talk about appointment ratio, Grant Thornton, the opportunity ratio, how many appointments does it take to get an opportunity? We talk about engagement ratio, how many opportunities do I have to get to result in an engagement? And then what's the sales revenue? They're good metrics, they work. We are building a sales culture at Grant Thornton. I merely bring up the busboy, the barback concept as waiters about tips because in the perfect world, I think you're never going to achieve marketing and sales integration unless you address that issue. And the way to get people truly on one page is not only use the same sales vocabulary, but use the same incentive vocabulary. Step number five. Geez, using CRM and basic CRM reporting. It sounds rather simple. I've talked about marketing and sales, but just think about it. At Grant Thornton, we've also got another group, another third wall of people who play with Legos, accountants. I saw Jane, you're with Mayor Brown. Cheryl's doing some work at Perkins Coie. Same thing at law firms. When you've got to work with the professionals, it throws in a whole other dimension. Well, how do you capture and get people using your CRM tools? How do you ensure that the reporting is there, that the information's correct, the data is correct? How do you make certain that you can use your CRM tool for more than reporting, but rather proactive management of your pipeline and of your customer relationships? That's a difficult challenge. We try and do it at Grant Thornton by looking at ROI. We use campaign management tools in our CRM tool. It's called Sales Logics. We try and measure simple things like how many cards or mailings were sent out, how many appointments were created off those, what the general cost was of that campaign versus the opportunities and the revenue generated off that campaign. We try and be extremely transparent as we present this information to our partners and to people in our region and nationally. So it is a firm-wide CRM tool. Anyone in the U.S. can open up that tool and find out what's going on in Chicago, see if someone's working on a deal with Mayor Brown, or see if someone's working a referral from Harris Bank, or see if someone's prospecting. Ms. Fink's brother used to work at Grant Thornton with me. He's now with a software firm. And Mike and I share leads, and he's trying to work with some people up in Minneapolis with some leads and out in California. And by sharing, having an open architecture, you can truly, using your CRM tool, create integrated marketing and sales, I believe. click-through reports and pipelines. It's a beautiful thing, the internet. It's a beautiful thing if you do something with it. It's a beautiful thing with email if you do something with it. And we've got a group in Ed's team upstairs that literally sends out click-through reports where we know who opened our emails. They might have had an interest in talking about compensation and benefits. They might have had, heaven forfend, an interest in talking about enterprise risk management. Or maybe they really are interested in finding out our thought leadership on, in the food and beverage market. We don't want to spook those clients or prospects by saying, geez, I saw you opened up our email. But as a business developer, it is nice to know that when my marketing and sales team gives me that information, that there's an interest out there. And I can pick up the phone and call and make an unrelated discussion and try and leave a voicemail about, I'd really love a chance to introduce you to our compensation benefit consulting team. Or, geez, we'd love to talk to you about the ROI or the 10K that you just released and some of the issues that we saw within it, and we'd love to get our advisory practice out. It helps you really scope your marketing and use it as a sales tool. Real-time results, I talked about that earlier, and using marketing reports to generate leads. This is the most basic thing in the world, but I have seen it fail. In the Midwest region, we have seminars. Anybody ever do seminars? What happens after those seminars? Do you give it to your sales team who attended? Do you tell your sales team to follow up and make a sales call to the people who didn't show up so you can perhaps do a one-on-one discussion with them about the thought leadership you were presenting on? Do you follow up with the people who attended and thank them for attending and try and get some feedback without being too aggressive on the sales side? Simple marketing and sales communication using the same vocabulary, using CRM, you can have discussions with prospects and clients that are meaningful that you wouldn't have had otherwise. And I think that's really vital to bringing the marketing and sales teams together. If you put your Legos together, you can build something like a Batmobile, or you can build the enterprise. If you don't put those Legos together, you're going to have those two walls that don't go anywhere. And CRM helps you do that. Sixth idea, employing marketing and sales program development teams. This is something that Ed brought in. Randy Thorne, who's director of field marketing, has done this as well. Try and put sales and marketing team together from the get-go. We don't roll out our CRM ideas and our enhancements without bringing the marketing people to the table and our salespeople to the table and our professionals. We don't think anymore about going out and creating a product or a solution in the market unless we test it and talk to the salespeople first. If you do, you're kind of setting yourself up for failure. You're creating a wheel, and the wheel's already been invented. How many products or service line rollouts or sales tests? Elise, tell me, do you do at Paladin, do you have a sales force?
We are a sales force.
Okay. So do you ever share ideas or the new offerings that Paladin might have in terms of a new marketplace that you want to get into for your talent, things along those lines? Do you share ideas and road test it first and then get back the results to marketing? Okay? I mean, most product companies do that. Colgate-Palmolive does that. Why don't we do that in professional services? I don't know. How many salespeople provide feedback to their marketing team? I do all the time. I sit back and say, Dave, can you believe that just happened? Cheers. No, I can't, Dave. But it is, in my role, sometimes I get pulled in different directions, and I realize that, geez, I haven't gotten back to Phil Quinby, who heads our national tax marketing. Phil, this is a great idea. This is really working. Let's go full speed ahead with it. Or let's talk to other people out in the marketplace. It's easy to become compartmentalized and a Piaget in term, to be very concrete, to not share the Legos, and to just execute on your own without playing with Legos together. Adapting campaigns from real-time assessment. If things aren't working, you can either go down that same road with something that doesn't work and say, oh, those people from marketing, I knew it would never work. Or you can communicate to marketing that it's not working. You can communicate it to the professionals, the people who help create it, and achieve some success, or at least redo, revamp the campaign, revamp the idea, and literally beta test it in the marketplace. An example of something we did in the Midwest over the last 3 years is we created something called the Great Lakes Manufacturing Report. I'll send a copy to all of you by the tomorrow morning, because I'm sure you want it. But it is a great piece of thought leadership that we try and look at operational issues, compensation issues, financial issues for manufacturers in the Great Lakes region. And it's really focused on manufacturing companies. And we put together programs with marketing and sales, with seminars, jumpstart campaigns, click-throughs for online that we can generate leads, first generate awareness, create leads and generate leads, and then hopefully close deals. But what we were successful doing this because we engaged the salespeople to help write the piece and to put in what might be working and what's not. We engaged our professionals to have some feedback in this. And there was a feedback loop that gave it a taste of reality. And we weren't going to market with something that the market doesn't want. And I'm often amazed, and this is no one's fault, but an example, the world of Sarbanes-Oxley came around in 2002, 2003. I don't think it's run its course. It's still there, but you can only beat a dead horse so long before it can't get up and go. And we as marketers and salespeople have a tendency sometimes to keep doing those things that are successful. Was it Einstein says, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and getting the same results. They're wondering why you got the same results. And we had to change the way we were going to market with Sarbox. We're now going out trying to address, and there's interest out there, called enterprise risk management. You make changes, you adjust, you adapt. And it's important, whether it's the Great Lakes Manufacturing Report, creating sell sheets and HTMLs and seminars, that you get feedback from what the customer's saying, what the market's telling you, and adapt your pieces of marketing and your sales approach accordingly. In that way, you work with Legos together, like a team, you pull left, you pull right, to use the Vince Lombardi concept, and you achieve great results. 7. Last little concept here before we open up with some questions and answers. Assess where you are as a marketing and sales organization. That's something that should be ongoing at every organization, day in and day out. You have to worry about your people. You have to pay attention to them and mentor them. You have to coach them. You have to make certain they're playing together in the sandbox with Legos. But are they really thinking about one another's jobs and processes? Do you listen to one another? Do you? Look at one another's metrics and budgets. Are they linked? I've been amazed sometimes. We're in our budget process at Grant Thornton right now. And when I talk to professionals or I talk to some of the marketing people, they tell me all these things they're going to do. Where are you going to get that money? And they haven't talked to any salespeople. How are you going to roll that out in the marketplace? There are only so many phone calls that a telemarketing firm can make, only so many phone calls that your sales team can make. How are you going to enact all those programs? Maybe you want to scale it back. Show respect for one another. Do you? We talked earlier about cowboys in the marketplace or about the great football player who doesn't need an offensive line. He's the showboat. He can do it all on his own. Well, just let the defensive line tackle him. We'll see how long he's a star. Respect one another. Share ideas. And again, what I started with, collaborate with one another. The whole concept at Grant Thornton, when we talk about our values, our global values, collaboration, we make things clear. Collaborate is the first global value we try and work with. Collaborate with one another. Little kids do that on their own, day in and day out in the sandbox. If you go into a daycare center, you will see children playing together well. Now, yeah, they might engage in collective monologues. They might not listen to one another. But somebody says, Red Rover, send Tony over. They know what to do. Somewhere along the line, we screw that up. I don't know how we do it as parents or as society. I don't know how we do it as sales organizations. I don't know how we do it as marketing organizations. But the simplest thing in the world with young kids is to collaborate. The simplest thing in the world with football teams in junior high school or in high school is to be simple. And somewhere along the line, we keep adding so much complexity to the marketing mix and to the sales mix or to the world of professional services or whatever service we're engaged in, that the noise makes us forget how to collaborate, how to play with Legos. And the only parting words I guess I would have is that there was a great article that Ed and his team sent out about 3 years ago. God, we'd grow old. In a Harvard Business Review, all about ending the war between sales and marketing. I'm a big fan of spin selling. I'm a big fan of Neil Rackham. And along with Philip Kettler and also with Suj Krishwamy, they wrote a great article that you can get reprints of. And in that article, there's an assessment tool that you can use for your sales and marketing organization. And it's a simple thing like you see in Reader's Digest. Anybody read Reader's Digest anymore? Probably one of the few. Or the USA Today. It'd take a little quiz to find out, is your team aligned? Are you playing with Legos correctly? And I would suggest, if you're interested in the subject, pick the article up. It's a great one to read. And I would also suggest, if you are interested in this subject, remember two people to read, seriously. Jean Piaget, who was a child psychologist and great educational theorist, died in 1980. He's one of my heroes in a past life. And also, read a little bit about Vince Lombardi. You always knew that the Green Bay Packers were going to sweep right or sweep left. The plays were the same over and over again, but you couldn't stop them. And there's something to be said about playing together as a team where you don't have complexity to be unstoppable. Be simple and use the seven keys of playing with Legos. Thanks.